series title, From Mother's Day to Father's Day, and it's all circulated around our value, the value of everyone one. The value of everyone one. So in the booklet, if I can get you to turn to that particular page where it speaks about everyone one as a value, it is there that we want to read and capture the beginning of the message. If you put that aside for just a second and take a look at your device at the sheet, you see that it says vision and values, everyone one. And right there in this particular passage of scripture, it says out of many is one, talking about unity in the body of Christ. We've entitled this as a message, and we've got several titles, but we'll use this one, Why We Want to Be One. Why we want to be one. Say that with me. Why we want to be one. Why we want to be one. So in that little chart on the sheet, it says, one of the reasons we want to help you be one is to help you shine. It's to help you shine. We have not lost sight of that being the year's vision, is to help you shine. And the more and more we speak it, the more and more we try to amplify it, the more you see the word shine, the more you see it on greeting cards, the more that definition might come up in your search. We are wanting to be a part of helping you shine and you helping others shine. Somebody say amen. So to be clear about helping you shine, I'm about to get warmed up here. It says to help you shine. All I want you to do today is look at with people and as a person. So when it says help you shine with people, help you shine with people, meaning the very first word there is what? Relationships. The very first thing we're trying to help us shine in is what? Relationships. What kind of relationships? Closeness. People need connection. We have to live in community and unity on one accord and with one mind. Praise God. Do you know how much stress and tensions come from just feeling like we're always divided? Or feeling like someone's angry with you? Or feeling like you're not going to be good enough to please somebody? Or you hiding from who you really are because of a sense of fear of rejection or any kinds of other types of things or nuances we experience in social settings like jealousies or envies or put downs or talkabouts or eye rolling or eye cutting or any of the other things we deal with. How many understand it all directly relates to people? How many know some of the most sensitive places we have to deal with those that are closest to us? Are you with me? So we want to help you shine with what? People. Want to help you shine with what? People. And as a person, meaning in life, in love, and in leading as children of God who shine as lights in the world. So out of many, one, unity in the body of Christ. Boy, I so to help you shine with people and as a person, I want you to read in this booklet here. We're going to read everyone one. It says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. To break that further down, it goes into those aspects. I don't want to necessarily highlight those aspects right now. I just want you to see the bottom line that's emboldened. It says this, everyone one is realized best in being one body, relationally close as one family and one spirit as a tribe. Can I get everybody to read that? Come on, let's get active here. Everybody ready, set, read. Everyone is realized best in being one body, relationally close as one family, and one spirit as a tribe. And everybody said, praise God. So if you can get your Bibles out, I want to read, like I said, there's several passages this week. But if you will, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we just read, as it were, verses 12 to 14. I'm going to pick up at verse 14, and then we're going to read all the way down. Okay? I'm going to read from the New King James Version of the Bible. Listen, I want to say this now because I've got this little timidity here about this is about to be boring because we're about to read a lot of the Word. But how many of you know the Word is the power?
Amen.
Right? And there's times where we can be inspiring, like Golgotha. But then there's times we got to study. There's times we got to study if we're going to ever have transformation.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. And if we're
going
to be better in our relationships, it means that we're going to have to put on some new attitudes.
Amen.
And the way you put on new attitudes is you have to have new thoughts.
Amen.
And to put on new thoughts, you've got to have new ideas that come revealed from heaven, which are what we call rhema. So the more rhema we have, the more renewed of our mind. And the more renewed of our mind, the better relationships we can have. I'm preaching better than you shouting. Starting at verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now, I want you to just try to grab if we have any attitudes, not like all the time, but maybe like sometimes or with some people. It says in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. That's the shouting part.
Amen.
In other words, God likes me as a fingernail. Are you with me? But I'm despising being a fingernail because I would rather be an eye. But help me understand, as soon as my eyelid get an itch, the fingernail needed to be on point.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Woo. I might end up shouting anyway. Jeez Louise. So here it is. Well, here's the point. Maybe we can get our hearts renewed and our minds renewed in not trying to be or jealous about something else, but rather accept who God made us to be. Because if we miss who God created us to be, we'll miss our contribution to the overall body. Glory to Jesus. So then it says, verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no... Man, that burned me up one time. I was reading this passage of scripture and I just started hearing that, you know. Like that kind of concept where... Let's reverse it. Convert it. I like to think I have need of everyone.
Yeah.
It's not anyone that I don't have need of. I saw these three little, nice little, good-looking children over here. I don't know them, but I have need of them. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know it's even the little ones? You see, Sister Anna tells the story about me and Sophie, about how Sophie waited every Sunday, 20, 30 minutes, while I'm with everyone else, just to give me a hug before she went home. Is everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the part you don't miss. But when she was four, I gave her a big hug and brought in her McDonald's little Miss Kitty watch. When she was four. So when she's 14, then she finds herself waiting because she wants to give the hug to the one that gave me a little Miss Kitty watch when I was four. Do you see the difference? Mm-hmm. Say everyone,
everyone has
a part. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Look. What verse did I leave off on?
19.
I'm going to go with 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part that lacks it, that there should be no schism. No what? Schism. No what? And when you write the word ism down, we do that as an acronym, ism, because wherever you see schism, racism, classism, wherever you see isms, it's ISM, isms, which is ignorance separates members. Ignorance separates members. So therefore, one of the things we must do to not be separated is we've got to grow in knowledge of one of another. That's a good teaching right there. In the body, but that member should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, if one member what? All the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And everybody said amen. So therefore, that's the very first passage of scripture that we wanted to peek at, because that helps us understand as it relates to our vision and values. And I know I skipped over this, but now bounce back on the sheet to help you shine. And we want to be in Philippians chapter 2. We want to be in Philippians chapter 2. And specifically, again, I'm going to bounce around, but I want to read from the New King James. And I want to read Philippians chapter 2. And we'll eventually get to things that you feel like you don't know already, but let's build a basis for this. It says in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read just verses 1 to 5. We don't need to go any further than that because we are working with people and everyone one. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. I promise you, we will come back to that passage of scripture and revisit it. But what we want to see on the chart is we want to help you shine. The way we want to help you shine is through our vision and values. And therefore, right now, at this particular season, from Mother's Day to Father's Day, we're in a relationship series. The purpose of it is to build relationship unity. The purpose is to build relationship unity. What is the purpose? To build what? Relationship unity. To build relationship what?
Unity.
To build relationship unity. Everybody turn their Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 to 13, then 1 and 2, and then 9 to 10. Just a second here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 9 and 10, is that right? Or 11 and what was it? Okay, verse 11. It says this, chapter 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Then jump over to chapter 4. Here's why we're reading this passage of scripture. This is also has come back to me, and sometimes many of you all, maybe even in the room, might say this. So while we're talking about being everyone one, some people may have in their hearts that we're doing a pretty good job of this. We, maybe different than other churches, bring different types of people together. We're doing pretty good in this. Everybody with me? Some people would say, you know what? We bring different ethnicities. We might bring different demographics. We may bring different people together to worship. But I would also like to share that there is a place for us in Scripture. And that is in Thessalonica, it says the same thing about those that were doing a good job. Let's take a look at what it says. We're in verse 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read this from New Living. Let me see if I can get this New Living. I can't. It says in New King James, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, get this, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Jump down to verse 11 and, or 9 and 10. But according, verse 9 and 10, but concerning brotherly love, but concerning brotherly what? You have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Does everybody see that? In other words, how many understand some of us, we do get our endorphins going because we think we're already doing it. But the scripture also says, but you know what? Now increase that more and more. In other words, there's an ability or an aptitude of not what we are not doing, but we're able to add on to what we're already doing. And the way we add on to it is by increasing our love, by increasing our love one for another. In other words, there's an area, there's a space, no matter how much I've gone to, even the scripture says, oh, no man anything but to love. Therefore, we're saying there's a capacity that as much as love of God I have received, I'm giving, and yet there's more love from God for me, and therefore there's more love, God, that's from me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say love.
Love.
My God. What we have more need of is more of God's love. Praise the Lord. So therefore, there's a capacity that we can grow in as it relates to the love of God. Now I'm ready for your exercise, as you can see. I want you to pull out a piece of paper or use your phone, and now it's time for you to get in your exercise. Amen? We want you to have what I'm calling a pre-exam. A pre-exam and exercise. I want you to write down these answers first, and then we're going to gather up. Listen, number one, write this down. Write down your answer. You don't need to write the question. Write the answer. Number one, share in your group a scripture. You write the answer now. Share in your group a scripture, verse, or passage that came alive or brought you to life and or spoke to you this week. What's a passage of scripture? What's a verse that made you alive this week? It fed you. It nourished you. You highlighted it. You wrote something down in your devotional. You underlined it. You put it up on your mirror in your bathroom and wrote it out. You typed it. You printed it. You put it on your computer. You did something with it because it spoke to you and made you alive. Praise God. Don't get quiet on me now. Number two, say one word. So you write down one word, please, just one word. Say one word that inhibits or hinders you and other people from having good, fulfilling relationships, unity among themselves, and exhibit power as one. Write down one word not one phrase, but one word that inhibits or that somehow it hinders from you or other people, what you see in yourself or what you see in other people. One word that would describe what hinders you from having fulfilling relationships. And number three, share one way you handle hardships, break through bad times, and overcome obstacles. Share one way that you've discovered in your life, or one way that you attempt, or one way that you know. Doesn't matter how good you are or how much you're growing in it, but share just one way how you handle hardships, breakthrough of bad times, and overcome obstacles. All right. I am not going to listen to how first service people are quieter than second service people. I'm not going to go with that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what I want you to do, everybody stand on their feet right now, please, if you would. Please stand on your feet. Thank you very much. Can I get you to get with two other people in groups of three, and I just want you to share for a couple of minutes what your answers were. Please, if you would, find two other people, groups of three all over the building. Go ahead right now, if you will. Go ahead, three. And I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to talk about that at least. Come on. Let's do it. Talking. There you go, get them. Four more minutes. Three minutes. While others are not allowed. Good discussions. We've got a minute and some seconds. All right. Listen, right where you are, everybody can have your attention. Don't move. I want you to stay in that same group. You all have already just shared some things with one another. And I just want to share that, you know, we're going to pray one for another just for about another 2 minutes. And you're just going to ask them, can you put your hand on their shoulder or whatever the case may be. But we're going to pray one for another that God would continually listen, open up your heart and your spirit to receive what Jesus wants you to know from this word that's being launched. Amen?
Amen?
Here's the three things of what we're praying for specifically. Is that ever since chapter 3 of Genesis, there's been three things that have been going on in the earth. One, conflict. And some of us even call it in different social settings that we don't like to deal with conflict, or you know what, we always have conflict going on. I'm afraid of conflict. Some of us are in anxieties over conflict. Some of us have short tempers or short fuse because of conflict. Another one is there's division in the land. And sometimes division in the land is because there's division in our hearts. And if you have a division with somebody in this house, if you have a division with somebody in your family, if you have division with somebody at your job, why not let God deliver it today? Why not allow God to open up your heart to a brand new spirit, to a brand new heart, to remove that off of you, and somehow in the preciousness of this moment, of all of those fears being compacted for this moment, and just say, I'm going to let it go. Number three is because of offenses, conflicts, divisions, and offenses. If that describes you at all, you've already shared different points about what's going on with you this week with those that's in that circle. Can you pray? We're going to give you 2 minutes. Pray for one another. Go ahead, pray right now in Jesus' name. Come on, pray right now. Conflicts, divisions, offenses. God can perform a miracle right now. Maybe it's not even that. It could be your body is speaking against you. Come on, loose the spirit of unity right now. Alignment with Jesus and alignment with his kingdom. Alignment with his word. Breakthrough, God. People deal with hardships that are so heavy they don't know how to handle them. God, we ask that you give us skill sets. Thank you, Jesus. May your spirit manifest. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One more minute. Come on, one more minute. Come on, press in. We've got to become a praying people. Press in. Even when you know not what to pray, your spirit knows what to pray. That's it. That's it, people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sheklamastis mombroto shlekete. About 20 more seconds. Sacremo kata siki endre poshlata. Zolo mokatere moshatri miski. Thank you, Jesus. 7, 6, 5, 4, 2, 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, listen, just a quick question. It's okay if it's nobody. If it is, please just raise your hand if you don't mind. Listen, real quick, last thing we'll do. You know what? You have, if it's you, you have so much tension over conflict, so much anxiety over or stress over it, like stress out to the level of avoidance that you get a headache, specifically maybe even the back of your head. If that's you, who is that? Is that anybody in this room? Anybody in this room? You get a headache from your tensions and your anxieties. All right. You may be seated. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Specifically, if you have an electronic Bible, it's going to be the Amplified. A-M-P. Amplified. Before we do that, I want to explain those five objectives there. The five objectives, like, so what are the objectives to this message? And I'm going to say this now because I'm pretty excited about it. This is a one-time message, and so you've got the notes no matter where we stop at. But we're excited because on next week, the current plan is that Anna Maria and I are going to share a message to couples. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. So part of our relationship series, we want to share about how to be unified or how to have unity in couple relationships. And so if you will, here is the challenge. The challenge is I'm going to ask every couple to bring a couple. Amen. Bring the unchurched, bring the unsaved, and bring those that genuinely are the unreached people. Amen. Don't bring people from other churches. Amen. That's great, but could you bring people that really sincerely are unchurched, unsaved? Now, if the people you have are from another church and they just want to be here because their relationship has need of being spoken life into or for God to do something supernaturally in it, I ask that you would please bring them out. I'm very excited to be united with my wife and whatever message God has for us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, Philippians chapter 2, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It says this, starting at verse 1, we're just going to read from verses 1 to 5. I know it's the Amplified, but I want part of my assignment is just we're going to keep looking at this passage of Scripture in certain ways. So I'm sorry, I jumped over. Let's look at the objectives. A, the objective is A, to inspire, notice it's an acronym, unity to get her together. To inspire unity to get her together. Read that with me. Ready, said, read. Inspire unity to get her together. This is quite a wordsmith going on right here. Though these are acronyms we know, but when we put this together in a sentence and a concept, it means this. To inspire unity, meaning what? You and I together yielded. You and I together yielded. You and I together yielded to get her together. How many understand that the bride of Christ is considered to be a her? We are the bride of Christ, or we've been given a feminine, connotation of being the bride and Jesus as the groom. So therefore, you and I need to get her together. Therefore, if it's you and I, we both have a responsibility to get God's bride together. And therefore, if you and I are yielded, say yielded. Oh, I'm giving you the message already. Yielded is the key. Yielded is the key, Kareem. Yielded is the key. If you and I are yielded, then we can get her, God's bride, together. Amen. Number two, or B, is the objective is to reveal the relational power of being one. There is a relational power of being one. I could preach any of these points with scriptures we don't even have. C is to propel us to be the answer. I like this one. To propel us to be the answer to Jesus' prayer. I'm going to stop a little bit right there, and therefore I won't take extra time when we get to it. I think I want to highlight this one real quickly. To propel us to be the answer to Jesus' prayer. Dan, did you hear me?
I heard you.
Listen, do you understand what this means? I know you think that Jesus answers our prayers, but how many understand that we have an opportunity to answer Jesus' prayers? Is everybody with me? The man of God, international speaker, also the one that was behind the movie, Hadassah, when he spoke and revealed Esther to us in such a powerful and dynamic way, an evangelist, and was a part of the revival and down south in Florida, and that Tommy Tini, you know, he had a book and he had a concept out that really has shaken me ever since I heard about it. And that is, he calls it, and I didn't use it because, you know, it's a doctrinal play, but he says this, the one prayer that Jesus didn't have answered. The one prayer that Jesus didn't have answered. And do you understand? We're going to take a look at it today because that's John chapter 17 where he prayed that we might be one. And how many understand that wherever we see division, that means that we have not been one. And therefore the question becomes, has Jesus' prayer not been answered? So today I'm coming and I'm asking the question, are you participating? Are you contributing? Are you and I yielding together to get her together so we can be the answer to Jesus' prayer? Amen. I don't know about you. I don't need all of Jesus to keep filling me when I'm already fat from all that he's done already. It's time for me to exercise and to distribute some things that he's already given. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. D, to overcome conflicts. The purpose is to overcome conflicts, offenses, and divisions because Jesus the Word. And E, the objective is to treat spiritual and social skill sets to build unified relationships as one. And everybody said, amen. All right, now we're in Philippians chapter 2, Amplified Bible. I hope you're there. It says this, therefore, if there is any encouragement, I mean, I need you to read it like it's speaking directly to you. Therefore, if there is any encouragement and comfort in Christ, as there certainly is an abundance, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship that we share in the Spirit, if there is any great depth of affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same mind, having the same love towards one another. Knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. Do nothing, verse 3, do nothing, get this, it's important, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, through factional motives or strife. Don't do anything from strife. Don't do anything from what?
Strife.
Sounds like the word of God is telling us don't white knuckle anything. That was powerful. But with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, regard others, get this one got me, as more important than yourselves. I mean, the reason we're reading it is so that we don't have to hear it preached. We can just deal with the word. Regard others as more important than yourselves. It is reasonable to say this. If there is conflicts and divisions that we have with others, it's because there's a potential that one of the two parties have considered themselves more than each other. It says this. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Look at what verse 5 says. Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example. Please hear this one. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. look to Jesus as your example for selfless humility. You know, many of the co-laborers all around the country and all around the world would say this. This doesn't sound like it's one of those hooping, hollering, and y'all running me down, shouting type messages. Amen? Can you tell that? Amen? But how many understand that if we could just eat a little bit of it, it's kind of like back in my day, they used to say, boy, you better eat that oatmeal because it'll stick to your ribs. Amen? Do you remember that? How many know you're supposed to eat the oatmeal because it'll stick to your ribs? Eat them greens because it'll give you strength, right? Eat those peas. How many know you just got to eat some things that you might not want it on the plate? But if you eat it, it will nourish you. All we're saying is that how about we be renewed? How many know in many of our relationship conflicts, divisions, and offenses, we're trying to change others rather than we ourselves being changed? Somebody say, Sister Vanessa, go holler with me. Amen. Here's a couple of things I want to bring out to your attention. Here's a couple of things. Look at those bullet points. Time is it? It says, we're rereading the main text from multiple translations to resonate with revelation knowledge of the word. Of the what? Word. Look at this next bullet point. Here is a reminder, you all. One purpose, I did this at the original message in January. Reminder, one purpose of the letter of Philippi or to the Philippians was to address their difficulties, persecutions, and sufferings resulting in conflicts, divisions, and offenses among each other. Can I get your attention? One theologian and scholar went as far to say this. Think about the outlay for those that might know the book of Philippians. Is that you start off with Paul. First of all, Philippi and Philippians are considered to be the Apostle Paul's most endeared or affectionate location where he planted a church. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that it is at Philippi that he was in jail? Are you with me? Yeah. It was in Philippi that he was beaten. It was in Philippi that Jesus had a jailhouse rock and rocked him out. And him and Silas came out, and they didn't even run out. They was brought out by the jailer. Are you with me? In this type of endearment that he has towards Philippi, it is also in Philippi that upon his departure, that there is now becoming to be strife. Not only that, but in the church of Philippi, in this region, they were suffering from great persecution. And Paul is writing from another jail cell, even to those that are under persecution. Why is this vital and important? Because as they were dealing with suffering and hardships and difficult times, Paul, he writes to them and first of all, encourages them. Every time I remember you, I pray for you. Every time I think of you, I give thanks unto God for how you start preaching and teaching the gospel with me from the beginning. In other words, you see his love and affection for them. But then he goes on to say, hey, don't worry about me. I'm in jail. Don't worry about that. He says, you know what? I might even die. Don't worry about that. I might go home to be with Jesus. I might stay with y'all. I tell you what, I'm going to stay. But then he goes into this dialogue of saying, be of one mind. Be of one purpose. Why is that? You don't get it in chapter one. Then he goes into chapter two. And he says this five verses or four verses with a segue of verse five. And he says, look, if you have any encouragement. And the scriptures and scholar says that it's not like he was asking or questioning them if they have. It's more rhetorical writing. He says, I know you have encouragement, so make my joy complete. I know you have a consolation of his love, so why don't you be of one mind? I know you are experiencing the outpouring of Jesus, so why don't you make sure you endure with one another? Are you with me? You don't see it in chapter 2. You don't even see it in chapter 3. Though he says, you know what? I press toward the mark. But did you remember the other part before that? He says, I forget those things that are behind me. Remember that? I forget those things that are what? Yeah. Paul is masterfully writing to the Philippians. And he does that because then it surfaces in chapter 4. In those chapter 4, we see he says, you know what? the conflict that you all are having, come on, bless those ladies so that they remember. You know, they both have served with me, and the Greek word there means they ministered and they deaconed with me. You know what? Why don't you remember? Come on, keep them together. In other words, Paul wrote this whole book to the church he had affectionate towards because there was conflict and things like what hardship and persecutions and things that were difficult and strife, and he's trying to keep them together. So he tells them what we're studying right now is more about how to get to be one. How to get to be what?
One.
How to get to be what?
One.
You see, when your issue that you're having difficulty with, I don't care if it's marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter if it's courtship, doesn't matter if it's job, doesn't matter if it's sales, doesn't matter if it's school groups, whatever, when you start measuring yourself as more important than the bigger, you're always going to have conflict.
Amen.
That's good teaching. So in other words, Jesus, through the scriptures, is helping us to remember, wait a minute, it's Jesus that you have no problem with. Therefore, because of Jesus paying it all for all of us, then why don't you engraft and endure with them all? I want to go ahead and give you some of these most important bullet points real quickly. Praise God. I'm enjoying it. Look, remember that point I just went through. So here's how we'll go about this. I gotta go fast. So Jesus and Paul, well, Paul's writing to them about Jesus, but how many know it was Jesus was the first one to start talking about being one?
Yeah.
Everybody go to John 17. Not trying to give you anything new, trying to give you something that's a good meal. I tell it to you this way. I don't care how many times I have lasagna, every time it's served, I'm going to tear it up. Amen?
Amen?
New King James. We're going to start in verse 6. I got to read quickly. Notice the headings. I don't know if you can see that. Jesus prays for his disciples, and then it's going to say Jesus prays for all his believers. I got to read fast because I'm... Uh-oh. Says in verse 6, I have manifested, something going on there. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They have kept your what?
Word.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I have come forth from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. Verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those who you've given me, for they are yours. And all of mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you given to me, that they may be what?
One.
That they may be what? That they may be one. For those that do know this, but for those that want to learn this, listen, we have Jesus praying we have recorded the longest prayer that we have seen Jesus pray. And therefore, notice what he's praying. Pray that they might be one. What's the example? As we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak to the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your what?
Word.
I've given them your what?
Word.
This is really important, y'all. I'm going somewhere. I've given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now, verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by thy truth. I'm going to let you read the other part, but I want you to go to Mark chapter 4 for a second. Go to Mark chapter 4. I'm trying to figure out a way to close it out, but give me, you want this. Mark chapter 4. Let me set this up. You see, in the early part of Mark chapter 4, those that everyone prays gets this. In Mark chapter 4, we have the beginning of it being the sower, the parable of the sower. The parable of the what? The parable of the sower. And I want to make sure you connect this because I'm going a little fast. Jesus is praying that I have given them your word. I've given them your what?
Word.
Now, here's the point. It says Jesus is now in Mark chapter 4 talking about the parable of the sower. And Jesus says to them that the parable of the sower, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, then how are you going to understand any of the other parables? Is everybody with me? So the question is, Jesus has set the parable of the sower as being significantly different than all the other parables because he's in essence made it like a key parable. So he's made the parable of the sower a key parable that gives us understanding that if we can get an understanding of this parable, then we'll understand other parables. Are y'all with me? And in Mark chapter 4, we're going to read starting at verse 10, I think it is. Is that right? Look at verse 10. New King James. It says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Look up at me right quick. Listen, in this passage of scripture, get this, Jesus, to me, no matter how many times I read this passage of scripture, it was a little confusing. Because why would Jesus not want people to understand? Are you with me? Why would Jesus want to preach something and it not be received? Are you hearing me? But he literally says right here, he has to be very careful because you know what? He tells things in parables lest he says something and they understand it. Can I tell you why? Because this is not cruel. This is compassion. This is not cruel. This is compassion. The reason it's compassion is because the scriptures gives us understanding that if Jesus gives you a word and it's a revelation knowledge and you understand it, then you become accountable to it. In other words, if Jesus or God drops a word on you, gives you a scripture, gives you a revelation, gives you a deeper understanding, gives you what you all call an insight, Ephesians 1, an enlightenment, whatever Jesus gives you, you then become responsible for that word. In other words, if he says, now go fast, then he is believing that you've received it to understand that he meant to go fast. If Jesus says to you, go over and forgive them, he didn't mean go and sneak out the back door. I'm preaching better than you shouting, amen. All I'm saying is he says, you know what? Go on Facebook and write a nice message to them. If Jesus says, call them. If Jesus says, he is saying this to you because if you understand it, he wants you to go do it. Are you with me? Can I share something with you? So he says in this scripture, he says, you know what? But I tell parables so that they may not understand it, because if they do understand it, then they have to become responsible for it. Is everybody with me? Can we read a little bit further? Look at this next part, verse 13 and 14. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Verse 14. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the what?
Word.
Are y'all ready for this? Listen. You see, one of the reasons that we need to understand this parable, because it's about the word. It's about the what? Oh, I'm talking to academics. I'm talking about scholars, Bible teachers, Sunday school people. Listen, this parable is about the what?
Word.
And Jesus says, because this parable is about the word, you need to understand this parable, which is the key significance to all the other parables. In other words, Jesus wants us to not debate about and evaluate and try to analyze scripture. Because when we debate about that, and if this was really old, or did he really mean that, we're in all kinds of confusion on if I'm going to do it or not. Well, that wasn't really what was written. Jesus wants us to understand that the word is not something that's an ancient writing. The word is a person. And when we receive a word to obey it, when we receive a word to follow it, when we receive a word to be yielded to it, it's because we are surrendering to a person, not to a book.
Amen.
When you receive a word from Jesus, who is the word, you are receiving it to follow a person, not a book.
Amen.
You're not trying to evaluate the paragraph. It was the person who is the paragraph that you're trying to follow and yield to. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So now, if we are not debating about if I understand it or not, because so many of us are trying to debate, I don't understand what that scripture means. How many understand obedience doesn't require your understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Obedience requires you following.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience requires that, you know what, you said it, I believe it, I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm trying to get us to understand is to get us out of not being one and to get us into being one. Jesus says in his prayer that they may be one, even as we are one. So in this prayer, that's where the question comes out, is am I the answer to Jesus's prayer? I don't know how to finish this out, so I'm gonna do it this way. When you go back to Philippians chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Remember, I'm bouncing around. Philippians chapter 1. I hope you're receiving something. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I'm going to start at verse 27. The Passion Translation, starting at verse 27. It says this. Whatever happens, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ. Then when I come to see you or hear good reports of you, I'll know that you stand united. You stand how?
United.
United in one spirit and one passion, celebrating together as conquerors in the faith of the gospel. Write this down. It's a quote. Let me just write this down. It's a quote. It's not on your screen. Diversity is not to be tolerated. Diversity is not something to tolerate. Unity is something to celebrate. In other words, some people are trying to put their chest up and tighten up because they just need to tolerate diversity because you can't do anything with it. It's going to happen. So I'm just going to tolerate it. Come on, the right Tyler, listen. How many know diversity is not something to be tolerated? Unity is something to be celebrated. Because you cannot have unity without diversity. In other words, you cannot have unity unless you have differences. You cannot build what Jesus Christ wants to do in the earth except you have people that are different. How many understand that there's a difference? Y'all might not know this. There's a difference between a man and a woman. I don't know if y'all know that. Amen?
Yeah.
How many of there know there's a deeper understanding from somebody that's an artist to somebody that's an A-type? Are you with me?
Amen.
They are not meant to be separated. They're meant to be in the same room, at the same table, at the same body. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to keep reading. It says this, and then you will never be shaken or intimidated by the opposition that rises up against you. Your courage will prove to be a sure sign from God of their coming destruction. For God has graciously given you the privilege not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him. For you have been called by him to endure the conflict in the same way I have endured it. For you know I am not giving up. Just in case you want to know this, that word suffer literally means the persecution. Again, they were being persecuted at that particular region and at that church. We're almost done. Verse 1 to 5, chapter 2. The Passion Translation. Look at how much encouragement. I need you to feel this as though it's spoken to you, reading to you. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship. In your what? In your what? In your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. Verse 2. So I am asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see in the notes down there, we'll keep reading, but see in the notes there, and that might be spelled a little bit wrong, but the Greek word is symkosis. Do you understand, get this, that this word for one accord or one spirit or same spirit is only found once in all of the Bible? In other words, all the other times that we see on one accord, like in the upper room, or all the other times where we see it, it may have a different translation, but in this passage and in this scripture, it said once, and it means to be of the same mind. It means to have the same attitude. It means be yoked and in Christ together so that you can have just one type of heart. In other words, there would be no divisions among us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse 3, be free from what? Pride. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display, get this, of selfishness. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Verse 5. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let His mind become your motivation. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You'll see right there in the notes so that you understand the bullet points to the questions. There are two ingredients that I believe are quintessential to being one. Humility. And letting go of selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Selflessness is what keeps us divided. Selflessness is what causes us to become one. Selflessness. I wish that I've been wanting to preach a message for so long about selflessness, because when we look at the nature and the character of Jesus, every point of Jesus is about giving it away. It's always about going low. Jesus is the perfect example of selflessness, and He is the one that we all worship. It's Him that's the one that we corral around. Isn't that true? So let me say it this way. That's why verse 5 says, let this attitude, which was in Christ Jesus, be in you. Jesus described Himself as being humble in heart, and He Himself was selfless. This is how we become unified, is when we are one in humility and selflessness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank You for Your teaching of truth. We thank You for the prayers that they had one for another. We thank You, Jesus, that Your word will run its course and it will not return to You void. We're asking, God, that You would be the renewer of our minds so that we might be the ones that are transformed, so that we might be the ones that are now proving in the earth the will of God, which is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will. God, I'm asking for You to make Your word come to life on the inside of us. It's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank God right now in Jesus' name, if you will. We are dismissed. God bless you all.